So the last few weeks we've been going through this new series called Confident Christian Life, and we've been looking at a variety of things. The very first one we did was confidence in salvation. We needed to know that we can trust God and that we can believe that He's going to forgive us for our sins. That's what salvation actually is putting our sins behind us, forgiving us so that we're able to be in His presence and spend eternity with Him. And we need to be confident in that salvation. And then last week, we looked at confidence in fellowship, and that's allowing God to be in all of our lives and not just part of it. Like we want to have God involved in our life, in our daily aspects, at work, with our family and everything. We don't want to withhold anything from Him, and He's going to not withhold anything from us. And that's our fellowship with God. And then this week, we're going to look at something that's it's a tough one to talk about. It was a tough one to learn and read about and try to grow myself. So it's kind of a tough topic, and it's difficult to be obedient to God in this area. And I think I'm gonna try to share my heart and share why that is. And that's the area of confession. Like we have a hard time going before God sometimes and saying, "Hey, I messed up." And there's a variety of reasons that we do that. And there's purpose in why we need to confess our sins to God, because in 1 John 1:9, we looked at 1 John 1 last week some, and we even looked at this verse that it tells us to confess our sins to God, and that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins as we confess them to Him. And then James 5:16 speaks of confessing our trespasses to one another, but this isn't the same as like confessing our sins to a Roman Catholic priest, and it's not even mentioned in the context of James 5:16. And also, James doesn't link forgiveness of sins to this confession that he's talking about there. So whenever I start thinking about this confession thing, my mind immediately goes to this Thursday morning Bible study that I agree to. And whenever I say Thursday morning, it's really like in the middle of the night. It's at 6 a.m. Again, up really early on every Thursday, and it started off Mondays. But anyway, part of this Bible study that we all agreed to when we first started meeting was we were going to confess sins to each other and hold each other accountable. And that means that we're going to talk about the sins that we struggle with, and then we're going to be checking on each other throughout the week and saying, "Hey, how's this going? How's that going?" And we're going to talk about that so we have some accountability. And it was a really neat thing. And then the Bible study changed. More people started coming in, and there's been less of that. But that's where we first started out in this confessing of sins and trying to learn that. We used to do that in tool time some also. But during this Bible study, I kind of came to realize that one of my biggest sins, and I know it's hard to believe that I've got any, I'm kidding, but one of my biggest ones is my anger. And that's been something that has like plagued me for since I can remember, since I was a kid. And I wanted to share a little story of whenever the realization really hit me. And that's, I think Amber and I were dating, but I'm not sure, because I can only remember back to like a couple hours ago. But I do remember this one time I was working at the Expo Center here in Glen Rose, and I go out to my car, and we live. How many of you guys lock your cars in Glen Rose? Okay, we got a few people that lock in Glen Rose. Well, you know, 20 years ago, I'm sorry, whenever I worked at the Expo Center was more like 5-6 years ago, whenever I was a teenager. Okay, I'm kidding. So we didn't lock our cars. There was really nothing to worry about. And I go out to my car one day at lunchtime, and I pull on the handle, and it's locked. And immediately, without even thinking, I raise up a fist and start to kick the thing at the same time, like it was my car's fault that it was locked. And it was actually me. I'd locked it for whatever reason, and I didn't even think about that. But right then, it kind of hit me. It's like, wow, you've got some anger issues. And that anger kind of followed along. And I've never been like one of those people that gets violent whenever I'm angry. Instead, I'm one of those types that I can be vicious with my words. And Amber can attest to this. I can say some mean things, and sometimes I think that it would pass quicker had I hit somebody than some of the things that I'm capable of saying. And so I've had to work on that all throughout my life. I had to work on anger. And we realized at one point that some of the anger was due to blood sugar being messed up, brain chemicals being messed up, because my blood sugar was out of whack. And I can't use that as an excuse, but whenever I gave up the sugar, I started getting a lot better. I'd wake up from naps and not be so mean and angry anymore. So that was like the biggest thing. And then I've got other sins also, and I don't want to like, you know, all this dirty laundry stuff and put everything out there this morning. But another big one that I've talked about several times from up here is Facebook. That's like a a big obstacle for me. Like, I want to wake up in the morning and I want to open up the Bible app on my phone and read and study the Bible, but some mornings you wake up and you open up the phone and there's notification on Facebook and you're like, well, you know, it'll just take me 2 minutes to see what these things are. And so you look at that and you're like, oh, look at that article they shared, and you start reading, and next thing you know, all your time has passed and it's time to go to work. And that continues to bother me. There's not anything wrong with reading on Facebook, it's just that I feel like my days start off better if I really read the Bible, and I fail at that a lot of the times, and instead I start reading on Facebook or other things, and I get lost on the phone, and I don't make it in the morning back to the Bible, and that's where I'm messing up, is by not getting back to what I need to do, because I should be spending my time in the Word, right, and not Facebook if that's what I'm really feeling like God wants me to do. And then there's these things that I don't really confess to anybody except for God. There's things that have been held back, and there's things I'm sure that I know about that, you know, come up every now and then. I shared at one point that I had a friend that I was harboring this anger towards and didn't even realize it until one day I was having a conversation with a friend and up pops this thing in my brain. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been mad at them for the last 17 years. And I ended up having to confess that to them and apologize, ask for forgiveness, and move on. And these things can come up from time to time, and we just got to deal with those things because they have an impact on our spiritual walk. If we've got these things going on, they're going to have a major impact on us. And we have these sins that we know that we're forgiven. You know, in our brains, we know that we're forgiven because Jesus died on the cross for us and He forgave us for our sins. But sometimes we aren't really giving Him up these things that we want to hold on to and have in our hearts. So it's because I think we get used to lying to people, right? We get used to putting on this facade around us that we don't really mess up, we're holy, we can carry on our Bibles with us, and we do all these things. And right now, like, there's people across the United States coming up and going into church buildings, and they're going to sing some songs and praise God. They're going to maybe put a couple bucks in the offering plate, and they're going to nod their head and maybe say amen whenever the preacher says something that they really agree with, but yet they're still harboring these sins inside themselves that they're not really giving over to God. So technically they're going into church to spend that time with God, but they've got something holding them back, and they know it, but maybe nobody else around them knows that. And I want to say it looks something like this. I'm going to move this over, and I'm even going to move the chair for dramatic effect, and because I'm thirsty, I'm going to take a drink of the water. Looks like this. We have this garbage. Just pretend that this right here is like your living room, right? You're at home and this is your living room. You've got this pile of garbage here, and inside of this pile of garbage we've got some lies inside of here. We maybe got some coveting. We're wanting some things that God haven't given us, and we're looking at other people and deciding that we want to have that, and God hasn't given us that. We have here, we got something that we stole, and it may have been a long time ago or something that happened, but we've got some theft going on. But we've got this garbage inside of our house, and it's just kind of sitting out there. And here's what we like to do. We like to go around our living room like this right here, right? We're all like, just getting kind of dust off over here. Ooh, chair's a little bit dusty. Oh, look at this dust over here on the flowers that we haven't done that in a while. We're just kind of, you know, noticing it over there and maybe dusting around all this stuff and taking care of things. And we notice that the, you know, this over here is a little bit dirty. So we've got all this stuff going on that we're looking around, and we're worried about all this mediocre little dust on everything. But yet right here in the middle is this big pile of garbage that we've got in our life that we know it's there. We know up here that God knows it's there, but it's something that we don't really want to talk about or that we really want to give up to Him because it's been there for so long, maybe, that it's just kind of become part of our life, and that's going to be a strain. We've got some place right there, and really what we need to do is we need to just take out the garbage, right? And just pick up the junk and tie it up and just throw it out and get rid of it. So that's what I think it kind of looks like whenever we're harboring this stuff inside of us and we're not letting go of what we need to let go. we're not dealing with the real issue that's of our hearts right then. We're just kind of working around that and trying to ignore this big pile of garbage. And then we come to church week after week with this big pile of garbage on us, and we're not just confessing that and giving it up to God. And for me, you know, I've been praying for churches all over the United States. I look at the state of just America and all the different things going on here in our very own country, all this stuff that, you know, we can read that it in the end times we're going to see things that are evil being called good and good things being called evil, and we can see that all around us. We see it almost every day, and I've been praying that the churches would just start waking up and start getting rid of this garbage that's holding us back from the full experience that we can have with God. And we'll stop lying to each other. We'll be like, you know what, I'm messed up. I'm a believer, but I'm messed up. I make mistakes. Whenever I make mistakes, I'm thankful that I've got a God that's going to forgive me. And I want that for our church. I want that for all the other churches in Glenrose. And I want that for the churches across the world, that we can just take this garbage that we've got and stop trying to hide it from God and stop trying to hide it from each other and just put it away from them. Because we can hide it sometimes. We can take the garbage and we can put it in the pantry, or we can put it up in a cabinet or hide it in our room or whatever. But God always knows where we're putting this garbage and that we're hanging on to it, and He wants for us to let go. And so we need to get real and let the power of God move through us so that we can be confident in our Christian lives, right? Whenever you start looking at this, one of the guys that I really look to, because I love the way that this guy just comes raw before God. The things that he wrote about God are just amazing. His view of just how big and powerful God is, yet how forgiving God is. And that's King David. He's like, he has this perfect picture. He was the king of Israel. He is their priest. He's their ruler. He's the apple of God's eye. And then what does he do? You guys remember the story? He goes out and commits adultery with Bathsheba, right? He messes up. And right then, he could have just went, God, I messed up here. I'm sorry. But did he do that? Nope. Then he goes off and he has her husband killed so that he can try to hide this. And then he goes about his priestly duties like he hadn't done anything wrong, like everything was just right before God. And he was still this great leader and ruler and king, and he has this garbage inside of him that he's dealing with. And then Nathan the prophet comes to him and says, hey, God knows, brother. He knows that you messed up. And so David at that point, he gets raw before God, and he comes to God. And we can look at Psalm 51. If I could summarize it, I would probably summarize like David is coming before God and he is asking for forgiveness, and then God forgives David, and then David walks away rejoicing. And that's what I think that we need to do today. I think that we need to just confess what we've got to God, and we need to let Him forgive us and deal with it, and then we can just go about our lives rejoicing and thanking God that He is a God that can forgive in that way. But it seems like it's really simple, and it's not, because we're so used to lying about what's going on in our lives. We're, me included, we're used to having these things that are going on that aren't good at all in our lives, and then we forget that we can give it to God, and that he can forgive us for that. And we eventually start trying to lie to God and maybe make up some excuses or make our sin seem more okay than what it really is, even though God says that our sin is terrible and our good deeds are like rags. So the sin is completely evil and can't be inside of in His sight. And it's these little things, like we want to blame other people also. We want to maybe throw our friends or throw other people under the bus. We make some kind of a mistake and we're like, yeah, God, I told that little bitty lie, but look at what that Duggar guy's been doing over there. He's been doing all kinds of crazy stuff and I'm nowhere near that. So we start throwing these other people under the bus, and then sometimes we may even go to God and try to make up all kinds of excuses as to why we did things, but He wants us to just come to Him and confess to Him so that we can get it off our chest, and then we can move forward. And now I want to look at Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3. This is David pleading with God. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So he's recognizing that he's got this sin that's just always in front of him and facing him and plaguing him like a pile of garbage that's always there. And he's admitting that before God, and he's saying, man, I'm ashamed of it. I want this stuff to just go away and be part of it. And then in verse 1, he's saying, to have mercy on me because of your steadfast love, because of God's undying love that he's got for him and for all people. He's just saying, have mercy on me, not because I'm so good, not because I don't make mistakes. Have mercy on me because you're so good, because you are God and you can forgive me. And that's his heart whenever he steps up to God. He's just putting it out there and saying, hey, God, I screwed up. I messed up again. And God's just going to be like, man, I know. I forgive you. And he's going to forget about the mistakes that we've made. But we have these lies all around us and things that nobody has any idea about, and nobody knows that we've done it. We know the sins. We know God knows the sins. But it's hard to face that sometimes when it's right in front of us, because we want to do that dusting thing around everything and maybe just kind of forget that it's over there and hope that God isn't really seeing it and that we can just work around that and not do it. But we really need to give that up to God. And so this morning I want to kind of ask you guys a question. And you just answer it in your mind. You don't have to blurt out anything. I don't want anybody to blurt out anything. But what is it that you might be lying about this morning? What is it that's always in front of you that you are having a hard time dealing with, that you haven't wanted to give up to God for whatever reason, something that's just there confronting you at any given time? What would that be? Like, what is it that nobody except for God knows about? There's nobody in your family that knows. There's none of your friends that know. Maybe not even another human being on this earth knows about, but you know that God knows about it, and something that you have been wanting to give up to him. A lot of times we want to go before God, and we may not be getting forgiveness because we go about this all wrong. We want to treat God like he's another human being, and like we're able to lie to him like what we do to other people, and putting on this fake facade that we've got going on in our lives. And we start thinking that maybe he won't even forgive us because what we've done has been so bad that God just isn't going to be able to let go of this. But we have a God of forgiveness, of love. He wants to forgive us. We go for him, and sometimes we want to appeal because of our own goodness, right? We go before him, we're like, God, I've been trying. I just messed up this one time, but I'm not going to do it again. That was the last time I'm ever going to do that. But God was there whenever you were right there making that mistake, and as your brain was going, man, I know that what I'm doing here is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway because I think that it'll make me feel better for whatever reason to mess up like that. But God knows that we did it. We can't hide the garbage from him. He knows what's going on all the time. And then there's times that you want to, like, go to God and say, let's back up a little. You want to go to God, and you want to just make your mistake, and you want to let some time pass, right? So like what I know that I did with my parents, and even my brother Jeremy admitted one of these things years later. So we want to let some time pass. We want to do all this great stuff after we mess up, and then we want to go and finally admit what we're going on. Well, you know, we have some stuff that we did way back when, and then we let this time pass. Maybe we're going to go to church. We're going to go to all these different church events. We're going to sing louder than everybody in the church. We're going to go feed homeless people, work in a soup kitchen, all these great things before we come back to God. But it's really like that thing that, you know, by the way, Mom and Dad, you know, whenever your car got keyed, that was me. You know, that was years ago. Who cares? doesn't really work that way, because your parents still can get pretty ticked off, but it may be less. But we can't do that with God, because the same vile sin, the same mess up is still right there in front of us, creeping up on us all the time and causing us to not be able to have what we need to be able to have with God. It doesn't do any good to let some time pass, because we're not fooling God. We're basically just sinning by acting like God doesn't know what's going on, and we just continue to leave the garbage out in front of us, and we're trying to make Him think that we're great by doing all these, you know, churchy things or great things, when really He sees right down into our lives and us just kind of dusting around the real issues that we've got going on. And there He just says He's wanting to forgive us. He's wanting to for us to fix that relationship with us. He has the great relationship. He's never done anything wrong. It's us that keep doing wrong, and we're not taking advantage of the forgiveness that He's able to give us. Sometimes, again, that's because we don't believe that He wants to forgive us. So the parents, whenever you have your kid, and your kid comes to you and they say, you know, I don't know, I'll use an example of me whenever I was a kid, because I got to put my sins out here. Whenever I was very young, I got caught smoking, not one time or two times, but a whole lot of times I got caught. And every time I'd be like, hey, you know, it was because, you know, the neighbor kid down the road was smoking, and I wouldn't have done it if he hadn't lit one up and started smoking with him. And so we have these things that we want to just kind of use. But would my parents have liked it better if I just come to them and said, hey, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry, Dad, I smoked a cigarette again. I take full responsibility. I messed up, and I'm sorry. Can you please forgive me? Which one's going to be better with our parents? We would much rather them just come up and say, I messed up. I'm not going to make up excuses. I'm not going to place any blame. I did what I did, and I just want you to forgive me. I'm going to be more forgiving if they just come and admit that they messed up, instead of trying to make up lame excuses and all that kind of stuff. I think that all of us would be the same way. And that's kind of like my hope for this morning, is that we're able to just lay everything out there before God, and that we can be confident that if we confess our sins before God, that He is going to forgive us. And it's not because we've done anything good. It's not because we have done great things. It's going to be because of His unconditional, steadfast love for us. And that He can blot out our transgressions and wash us thoroughly from our iniquities and cleanse us from our sins. And we can stop blaming other people or even God for our sins. Sometimes we start thinking that, hey, God, this is kind of like, this is your fault. You're the one that created me, and you put me over here in these circumstances that caused me to smoke cigarettes or whatever. You're the one that put that on me, and so really, this is on you. Does that seem right to a holy and righteous God? Not at all, but that's where we have to learn to take responsibility, and we need to want to take out the garbage so that we can just move on. I want to look at verse 5 in Psalm 51 here, where He says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So he's admitting here that from the very beginning that he was born sinful. From the very beginning, he's just saying, it's all me. I'm the one that was born in sin. I'm the one that gave into it. And God, I just need your forgiveness. And that's how raw David always was. He was saying that he needs God like the deer pants for water. He is always just laying it out there and going, God, I'm the one that messed up here. I just need you to forgive me. You are so big and I am so small down here. And then in verse 4, to go back a verse, he says, against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. So here he's kind of saying that whenever I've messed up against you, God. This isn't me messing up against my friends by lying to them, my family. I'm messing up against you, because whenever we tell a lie to one of our friends or our spouse or whoever, we are lying directly to one of God's creations that He sees as good and that He loves very much. So we're actually actively sinning against God whenever we mess up. Whenever we look at things on the internet, or we look at things outside of the internet that we shouldn't be, and we're having vile thoughts against someone, then we are actually sinning against God, because we are looking at something that God created and we're having messed up thoughts in our minds. So we need to remember that whenever we're doing something that God says not to, we are directly going against God and His creation. And that's something that hit me pretty hard whenever I started thinking about that this week. The anger, the hatred, or whatever it is that we're harboring against somebody else, that's something that we're holding against one of God's creation, something that He made, and saying that there's something wrong with that, and telling God that He did something wrong. And it seems like we're not really trusting that He knows something more than what we do, and that He can't forgive us to where we can pass from this lifetime to the next. This morning we may have some things that are hindering us from walking this confident Christian life, that we just need to purge some stuff from our hearts, and we need to get right with God today so that we can walk away from here today and be able to rejoice and be like David and recognize that we need to come before God with pure motivation to tell Him that we've messed up, and then He can forgive us. He will forgive us, and He'll cleanse us of our transgressions, and He will remove them as far as the east is from the west, and that is just forever and ever and ever. They always stay the same forever and ever. So if you want to walk a confident Christian life and you want to have confident confession before God, I want to ask Patrick here in just a minute to play a song that I picked back there, and there's going to be like a while through that song that I just want all of us to just bow down before God and really put those things out there to Him that we know are holding us back, that garbage that we're holding on to, that those sins that we haven't really wanted to confess because we don't believe that He can do anything about that. Just pray about that and let God know. Let Him know that you've messed up, and just ask Him to forgive you in the way that David did. Whatever garbage it is that we've got, whatever we need to clean out of the house, let's just let go of that. And if you guys want to pray with one of the leaders of the church, then after the service, we can go in the other room back there, or we can wait right up here, and you guys can come. And I know that I would love to, and I think they would love to just pray with you about that. But I want us to understand, even the leaders and for myself also, that we need to get rid of this stuff. God says that a righteous prayer is heard in heaven, so we may need to let go of some things also this morning, before we're able to pray for other people. And I don't want us to just do this just because. I want us to do it because if we look at Psalm 51, verses 6 through 12, it says, "Behold, you delight in the truth of the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in secret, in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Clean, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit." And then he goes on in verse 17 to say, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So he's saying that God wants us to be broken before Him. God wants that brokenness that we have in it so that He can fix us. If we're willing to let go of the things that are holding us back, God wants to fix our hearts. He wants to fix our lives so that we can be confident in Him. If we're confident in this Christian walk, we're going to be more confident in sharing the gospel message to the people out there that need to hear it. We can say beyond any shadow of doubt, God, you have forgiven me, and I know God has forgiven me, and He can forgive you guys also. And we can share that with all the people in the world that need to hear that. And then let's leave here today. Let's leave here rejoicing the way that David did, because God's cleansed us and He's made us free from these burdens of sin that we've got. I just want Patrick to play that song, and then I'll pray for us whenever that is over with. Just really take this time to look at what God can do in your life. The altar's open if you guys want that, or you can just stay seated right where you're at. raw and say, hey, I'm a sinner, I mess up, God, and I need you more right now. I need you to forgive me so that this garbage can be put out of my life. I just want to pray for us, and then we can get out of here. God, I thank you so much that you do forgive us, that we can just come and we can pour out these things in our life before you, that we can put it at your feet, and that you will forgive us, and that you will cleanse us of our sins, and that you'll forget all these different ways that we mess up. God, I want to thank you that you are bigger than everyone and everything that we know on this earth. Our perception of forgiveness comes from our own selves and from what other people do and our own forgiveness of other people and how they forgive us. But God, you forgive and it's gone. It's a thing of the past. And you sent your Son to this earth so that his blood could cover our sins, our multitude of sins. But you're there. You made a way. In spite of us not listening and being constantly disobedient, God, you were there and you want to forgive us. God, let us take away what we learned from David today and know that we need to come before you and just say, you know what, I messed up. It's my fault. It's not anybody else's fault. God, I know that I can't do enough good things to cover this thing up. I just need you to forgive me, and I don't want this garbage in my life anymore. I don't want it plaguing me. I don't want it in my heart. I don't want it coming between me and you. I want to feel free from this burden of the sins of my life. God, I want to be a warrior for you. I want to be a servant for you that goes out and spreads this gospel message to the thousands upon thousands of people that don't know you, that don't know what your Son did for them. God, I understand I need to be pure before you. I love you. I love that you love me so much. I love that you love everybody in this room more than we can fathom. God, you are such an awesome God that you can do that. Because it's difficult for us to just forgive something small. And you can forgive and forget the biggest things that happen. God, help us to honor you. Help us to honor you with our walks. Help us to honor you with our life. Help us to constantly be in fellowship with you. Help us to believe you whenever you say that you can forgive us. Help us to believe you whenever you say that Jesus' death on the cross was for us and that he died there in that day and that is where we get our forgiveness from you, not from anything that we can do, not from anything that we can say, not from anything within us. It is because of you and your Son's sacrifice, and that is the only way that we can be forgiven. God, help us to walk out of this room today having put all that baggage behind us. Help us to rejoice that we have a Father in heaven that can forgive us this way and that we can walk away clean with a clean slate. And God, we know we're going to mess up again, but we know now that we can come before you anytime that we mess up and we can say, God, I messed up. I made the active choice to mess up and that you will forgive us in that instant. And then we can move on with our lives and with our walk with you. God, fill us up with your Son, with the living water so much that it overflows today, that it overflows every single day in our lives. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, I ask for these things. Amen. I love you guys.